And we're holding on for test onward bays about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins to fodder. We started talking about yesterday the various chiyuvim that father has for his son. One of them being that he has to, among them are he has to teach him Torah and he has to marry him off. So we started talking about the learning Torah and what happens if there's a conflict between the father wants to learn Torah and so does the son, which one comes first. So now the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Lumud Torah v'lisa isha. If a person has a choice, what should he do first, learn Torah or get married? We don't mean when we say learning Torah, obviously we don't just mean, you know, learning the basics. We're talking about the pashtus, a person who has already learned and he still wants to go to yeshiva and learn more and learn on a higher level. So he wants to do that, but he also needs to get married. Yumud Torah v'achakach yisei isha. First let him get married, first let him learn Torah, then get married. Because if he gets married first, he's going to have to support his family and then he's not going to be able to learn Torah fully. But if it's impossible for him to live without a wife because he's having hirhurei avera, at least when he's married, his wife is not always available, but it's called, the Gemara elsewhere calls it, it's called pas v'saloi, at least like he has, so to speak, bread in his basket, in the sense there is at least sometimes the possibility that she's available for him to have relations with, and therefore that helps keep his yetzahara in check, as opposed to when he doesn't have a wife at all. Anyway, so if he's having hirhure avera, and therefore he can't focus on, uses the expression to yitzrim misgaber olav, his yetzahara is getting very powerful against him, then yisei shavachakachim a Torah, then let him marry first and then learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Halacha Noisi Isha V'Achakach Yom HaTorah. So the Halacha of Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that's the Halacha, is that you should always get married and then learn Torah. Don't make any exceptions for whether he has a Yetzahara or not. Rav Yechanan Amar, on the other hand, Rav Yechanan says, like the first possibility, Rechayim B'Tzavorev Yasef HaTorah. Is the guy going to have millstones hanging around his neck, meaning he has the tircha of parnasa of supporting his family, and you expect him to learn Torah? So let him learn Torah first, and only later on he'll get married. And the Gemara says v'loy pligi. Now they're not actually arguing. Really, Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan are not really arguing. Holon v'holahu. Because it depends whether we're talking about for us, Bnei Bavel, versus them, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi explains, people from Bavel would go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. So therefore, they're not having to support their families for the simple reason that their families aren't with them. They're in one place, their families are someplace else. So therefore, it's better let them get married first so they don't have Hirhurei Avera, and then learn Torah. The idea, again, being, even though they're away from home for a considerable amount of time, once they already got married, then already that helps keep their Yetzirah in check, the fact that they know that they have pas v'saloi. As opposed to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who stay home in Eretz Yisrael and learn Torah, that would be what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, but then how they're going to have to be supporting their families, how are they going to have the time to be able to learn Torah with concentration, so therefore let them better learn Torah first and get married later on. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos has some questions on Rashi. So what do you mean? How, if you're going to learn away from home, isn't there still the problem of here? Or what do you mean? Because you're married, then therefore that'll help you. The fact is, you're away from home. You're away from your wife for a considerable amount of time, so that's not going to help anything as far as the here. And also, once you've got married, how do you just go out of town to learn anyway? The fact is, you have to support them, and we have various Gemaras that say that it's not such a good thing to just go for a man to just go abandon his family and go learn Torah. Yeah, but the flip side of it is you have, for example, Rabbi Akiva, but his wife told him to specifically. But anyway,
the first year you're supposed to be smech yishvin.
Well, that's something else during the first year, but even after that, you don't have to be. You know, it's not shoner yishvin anymore. But nevertheless, a man still has. He writes in the ksuba, but no eflach. I'm gonna work to support you. So yeah. Anyway, Tosfos gives a different explanation. which is Rabbi Yochanan. Now, like this, many times we find, based on other Gemaras, that people from Bavel would go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah, and vice versa. So not like Rashi says that everybody's going to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Bavel are going there, and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are just remaining there. Rather, Tosfos learns that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael would regularly do the opposite. They would go to Bavel to learn Torah. Have they go to them come Torah? So instead of staying where they are, they would travel there.
It also depends when it was. Sometimes the Bavel was holier.
Right.
Sometimes it's more
tardier. Yeah, in fact, there, so there is something about that. There was different times. There were different levels of learning in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Anyway, Tosfos explains then, Rabbi Yochanan's Rechaim B'Tzavarei, the Yasek B'Torah, is addressed to Bnei Bavel, who've come to learn Torah by him. So first of all, the Gemara mentioned, they can't just abandon their families to learn Torah. And second of all, in Bavel, we often find in the Gemara that many people were poor. So therefore, so he says, don't get married first, learn Torah first. You'll get married later on. Shmuel is addressing people of Eretz Yisrael where, first of all, they could learn where they are. They don't have to come to Bavel. And in Eretz Yisrael, generally, they're better off. So Shmuel would be talking about people who are remaining in Eretz Yisrael, where therefore they can get married and then learn Torah because they're better off financially and because they're not traveling. And even if they do travel, then they're traveling to Bavel and learning Torah over there, but primarily he's talking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The Torah just goes on to discuss it in some detail.
Well, says the others, they should say they're when you should get married. How would that?
So that's be? We're going to talk about that soon, as far as the ages. But yeah, so the Gemara tells, a story in this connection about what about the age that a man should get married. It starts off. Mishtabach leRav Chista leRav Huna bid Rav Hamnuna de Adam Gadolhu. One time, Rav Chista was praising Rav Huna, that was talking to Rav Huna and praising Rav Hamnuna and telling him that he's an Adam Gadol, he's a great Talmid Chacham. Omalei, so Rav Huna says, "Kriyav liyodcha haviyeh liyodi. Next time he comes to you, bring him to me. I want to meet him." Ki asa, when Rav Hamnuna came, chazi adalei poris sudra. Rav Huna noticed that Rav Hamnuna was not wearing a sudra. Sudra is like a turban to cover his head. So Rashi explains that unmarried men wouldn't regularly cover their heads. So it could mean, we've talked about this before, some say that it means that that men b'chlal didn't regularly wear a yarmulke and they would start doing it after they got married. Or the other possibility is we're talking about something like a hat or a turban or something like that. Al derech, like we have, we don't start wearing a talus. Al derech, like on minute, but we don't wear a talus until after we get married. So he sees that he's not wearing a sudra, showing that he's not married. Omalei my time alei prisa sudra. So Rav Huna asks him, why aren't you wearing a sudra? Omalei delay nasivna. So Rav Huna tells him, because I'm not married yet. Adrinu la ape mine. At that, when Rav Huna heard that, he turned his face away from Rav Huna. He didn't want to see him. But Omalei tells him, chozi delay chozis lahula ape ad nasras. See to it. You're not going to see my face until you get married. Marsha explains, in other words, like you have the expression, also they stack them. In effect, he's saying that you, by not getting married by your age, are in that category. So that's what Gemara says. Rav Huna l'taymei. Rav Huna is going according to his svara. Da'ama ben esrim shana v'lay nasa isha. He says if a man is 20 years old or older and hasn't gotten married, kol yamav ba'avera, the rest of his life, even after he gets married, is going to be involved with Aveira. Now, Aveira, in Gemara terminology, usually means Arias. So the Gemara asks for Aveira, what do you mean? He's not necessarily going to be involved with Arias. Ella, Ema, Kol Yama Behiru Aveira. He means the rest of his life is going to be suffering from Hiru Aveira, because up until 20, he wasn't married, and therefore he was having Hirurim, and now, therefore, even after he gets married, then those thoughts still remain with him. So it's important for him to get married before 20. Nowadays, of course, we don't do that for a variety of reasons, but in Indian, that's how it's supposed to be. So you have really, in Pirkei Avos it says ben shmona esra l'chuppa, but what we're saying over here is if you can't, if for whatever reason you couldn't get married by 18, akuponim, you should be getting married by 20.
At least try.
Right. I mean, there's other considerations as well. For example, a person has to have something that he's going to do for parnasa. Many men are not ready for that at 20 yet. Sometimes, partially, the person has to grow up. You know, you have that too. But yeah, anyway. So continues the Gemara. Omar Rava v'chein tonet ve'Rabbi Shmuel. Rava said, and so we also learn in the Braisa from the Braisa from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Ad esrim shana yeshiva kodesh baruch hu mitzapala adam masa yisisha. Up till 20 years old, Hashem is sitting at Tzkavyachon waiting for a man. When is he going to get married? Kivin shi giyab esrim v'loy nasa. Once he gets to 20 and he hasn't gotten married, omer kodesh baruch hu. And then Hashem says, "Tipach atzmoisav, his bones should be blasted." So a tipach can mean a fire, it can mean a sickness or whatever. Why after the bones? Maharsha mentions you have the famous Gemara in Nida that says that a father, a mother, and Hashem each contribute something else to a baby. In particular, the father contributes the white stuff from which come the white parts of the body, including the bones. So therefore we're mentioning Tibachatz Moisev, as in he's refusing to contribute his part to the next generation. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Chista, Haida Adifne Mechavroi, the fact of Chista says that I'm greater than my Chaverim, that he became one of the greatest of the Amiroyim, is the Nasivne Veshitzar, because I got married at age 16. We have a Nasivne Veshitzar, if I had done even earlier, if I had gotten married at 14, which is when, as soon as possible, after my Bar Mitzvah, basically, have Aminel, a Sutton, Gira Be'enach, I would have been able to say to the Sutton, an arrow in your eye. In other words, I'd be able to completely tell the Sutton, I can start up with who's Sutton, who Yetzirah. I wouldn't be afraid he would cause me to do Averis because I would have gotten married as soon as I'm capable of. So like this, I waited until I was 16, but still my Chaverim all waited until even later. In that, I have the advantage over them because it means, in other words, that I was learning Torah without Yehurim, unlike them. So the Gemara continues, Omalei Ravalar of Nosin Ba'ami, Adi Yodach Al Savri Debrech. While you have your hand on your son's neck, meaning, in other words, while he's still receptive to your teichacha, is when you show. So Rashi gives two explanations. One is that's the age to get him married off. And the second explanation is that's the age when to give him teichacha, when to give him musar about life. And that is Mishitzar Vad Esrim Vitarti, from age 16 to 22. Before 16, he's too young, and above 22, he's not really going to be, before 22, after 22, we said already, don't delay marrying him off beyond 22, or beyond 22, he's not going to be interested in your Tarikha anymore. Others say that the range is from 18 to 24. And the Gemara says Ketanoi. This is like a Machlokes Tanoim, the two versions. A Braisa says, when it says in the Pasuk Chanoicho Nar Alpi Darkoi, give a child chinuch according to his way, meaning give him a chinuch, Rashi says, that will stay with him for the rest of his life, that you train him when he's young and he'll keep to it when he's older. What is this narus? What is this time to do that? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah argue what those ages are. Chad Omer Meshitzar Vad Esrim Retartin, Chad Omer Metman Yisrei Vad Esrim Abba. One says 16 to 22, the other one says 18 to 24. Those are the ages when he's becoming a young adult and when you need to be mechanech him in the appropriate way. So obviously chinuch begins far before that, but in other words, like this is the, now you have, before up till then, you have the chinuch at a child's level, now is where you have the chinuch at an adult level. The Gemara says, ad heichan chayiv odin lulamidus b'noi Torah. How far, meaning what is included in the mitzvah that a man has to teach his son Torah? Omer of Yehudah Mashmuk, good zvulun ben dar. We have the example of Zvulun ben Dun, somebody who lived in their time, a Talmud, Rashi says, who lived in their time, who they use them as an example. Shalimde avi oviv mikra umishnev a Talmud halachas va'agavis. His grandfather taught him all the different areas of Torah. Mikra, which is Tanakh, Mishnah, and Talmud, which is the analysis of the Mishnah, and halachas, practical halacha, and agadah. So all of that is included. The Gemara says, Maisvi, though I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Limde Mikra in Melande Mishnah. Once the father has taught the son Mikra, he's not obligated to teach him Mikra. Va'amar Rava Mikra Zutora. And furthermore, Rava says that Mikra for this purpose doesn't even mean all 24 books of Tanakh. It means this Chumash. So Rashi says at that point, the son will continue and learn on his own. The Alter Rebbe talks about it in Hilchos Talmud Torah, what we mean exactly. We don't mean the son's chinuch should stop just with Chumash, but we mean, in other words, for example, schar limud, does the father have to pay tuition for his son to learn beyond that, or is it only if we can find somebody to teach him for free, then yes, but otherwise maybe we can't obligate the father to pay for it. We're not talking about age. We're talking about once he learned Mikra, once he learned through Chumash thoroughly. Anyway. Yeah. So we see, in other words, that he doesn't have to go as far as what Zvulun Ben Dun's grandfather did. So the answer is Kizvulun Ben Dun, but like Kizvulun Ben Dun. No, when we're comparing Kizvulun Ben Dun, it's in a different sense. Not exactly like him. Kizvulun Ben Dun Shalim Ve'avi Aviv. Namely, the grandfather also has a chiyuv to teach his grandson. In other words, when we started out asking ad heichan chayav adam l'lamedes b'nei Torah, so we thought that we're asking and we're answering how far, meaning how much of Torah, how many different areas of Torah does he need to teach him. Now we're saying no, that's not what it means. Ad heichan means how many generations down the line is he obligated. So a father and a grandfather. So we see from the example of Zvulun Ben Dun that the grandfather also has a chiyuv if the father can't do it or won't do it or didn't do it for whatever reason. V'loy k'Zvulun Ben Dun, but on the other hand, he doesn't have to do like what Zvulun Ben Dun did. The technical chiyuv on the father is only as far as mikra, but here Zvulun Ben Dun's grandfather went beyond that and actually worked on teaching him Mishnah and Talmud and so forth. So the Gemara asks, Babi Oviv mi mechayev. So you're telling me that his grandfather B'chalal has a chiyuv in the first place. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says v'limadtem oisim es b'neichem, you should teach the Torah to your sons, meaning v'loy b'nei b'neichem, means you don't have an obligation to teach your son's sons. Umani makayim v'aydaitem l'vanecha v'levnei v'anecha. So what do we do with another pasuk that says you should inform them to your children and to your children's children and inform them about Matan Torah and teach them Torah? So we see there is a chiyuv to teach the grandchildren. That doesn't mean you actually have to teach them. It means loy malach, it comes to teach you. Shekolam lamedes b'noi Torah. A person teaches his own son Torah. Mala all of our kosev. Hashem credits him ki'ilu lindo loy v'lo v'noi v'lo ben b'noi ad soif kladuris, as if he taught his son and his son's son and so forth until the end of the generation. Because he's continuing the chain. He's teaching his son. His son, when he grows up, will teach his son and so forth. And therefore you have he's continuing the chain rather than breaking it. So therefore the Torah gives him credit for all the Torah that his descendants learn in future generations is all credited to him, but not that he actually has to teach the grandchildren. So what are you telling me that you have a chiyuv to teach the grandchildren and we're saying like Zvulun Ben Dun? The answer is Huda Amaki Haitani. The answer is that Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, who's quoting the example of Zvulun Ben Dun, is following a different braisa. D'tanya, we learn in a different braisa when it says V'limadtem Osim Es B'neichem, Einli Ela B'neichem. From the word B'neichem, you would only know that he has to teach his actual sons. B'nei B'neichem Minayin. Where do we know that it applies also to his grandchildren? Tamad Lema V'aydaitem L'vanecha V'levnei V'necha. From that pasuk. So now the second braisa is not taking that pasuk just in the sense of you're getting credit by teaching your son, you're getting credit for the future generations. No, it means that you actually have the chiyuv to teach your grandson, says the second braisa. Well then, what is why do you have the possibility of matim osimus b'neichem? Which seems to exclude b'nei b'neichem. The reason is because it comes to tell you b'neichem v'loy b'nei seichem, because it means your sons and not your daughters. Because as we learned yesterday, women don't have a specific mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So in other words, if we say an interesting point, the Ramah says that if you learn from Vardaitam of Anecha, of Nevanecha, that you have to, if you learn rather from Bneichem, then it means specifically your sons rather than your grandsons, like the first Braisa, then maybe according to that Manda Amar, women would be Chayiv in Talmud Torah. Only if we say that we're learning from Vardaitam of Anecha, of Nevanecha, that you have to teach your grandchildren, and then Bneichem means not Bneisechem, then we would say that women don't have a Chayiv in Talmud Torah. Lemaisa, the halacha is women don't have a chiyuv, but as we talked about yesterday, in practice they are given a chinuch. They have to be given a chinuch in school because otherwise they're not going to have anything. Okay. Anyway, the point is you have two different braises, and one of them says that a man has a chiyuv that if his grandchildren didn't learn Torah for whatever reason, that he should take it up and then be mechanech them and hire malamdim for them and so forth. So therefore, said Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel is following that braisa, and that's why he's saying ad heichan, that not only his children is he responsible for in this regard, but also his grandchildren. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rabbi Shurban Levi, kolam lamed es ben v'noi Torah, when a man teaches his grandchildren Torah, or a different gerusa that takes out the word ben, so just a lamed es b'noi Torah, he teaches his son Torah, mala olam akosu kilo kibla mehau Sinai. Hashem considers it as though he received the Torah from Har Sinai. Because the pasuk says you should inform them, teach the Torah to your children and your grandchildren. And the next pasuk continues, the day that you stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai. So therefore, so when you're doing that, when you're keeping that up, then it's considered as though you personally were there by Har Sinai and personally received the Torah. Hamachne explains that after all, the more the generations go by, the less the understanding. So when you're kind of skipping over a generation and you're teaching the second generation past you, where you could have said, I'll leave it up to his father, then the Eidishter credits it for you as though like you yourself were closer to receiving the Torah at Har Sinai. Worth mentioning in that connection, the famous story involving Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where one time he's flying on a plane together with his granddaughter, and she's helping him with everything possible, the whole flight, jumping up every time he needs something, and then there's this Israeli politician also sitting on the next seat, and they get to talking, and the guy says to Rabbi Yaakov, you know, your granddaughter was so attentive to you, my children, my grandchildren barely want to have anything to do with me. And Rabbi Yaakov tells him the difference is we believe that the Eibishter created the world and that the Eibishter gave us the Torah. So therefore, the earlier generations are closer to those. Therefore, they respect us. You say that people came from monkeys. Well, then, of course, they don't respect you. You're closer to the monkeys than they are. Anyway. So the Gemara continues. Rav Chiya bar Abba Ashkechei l'Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So now in this connection where Rav Yeshua ben Levi said this drosha about the importance of teaching your children and the grandchildren Torah, so the Gemara says, Rav Chiya bar Abba Ashkechei l'Rav Yeshua ben Levi. One time Rav Chiya bar Abba met up with Rav Yeshua ben Levi, the shodi disna areshe. He had just a disna, which is just like a cloth, like a handkerchief or something, on his head, instead of, we just learned before that married men would usually wear a sudra, a turban, and that takes time to put on. So instead, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't want to go out without his head uncovered or without wearing a hat, but he didn't have time to put on the turban properly. So he just put like a handkerchief on his head, and he's taking his son to the shul, to the cheder. Eunuch actually could be the child, so it could be his son, could be his grandson, whatever it was. So Rav Chiya bar Abba asked him, what's the big deal? Why didn't you even take the time to put on your hat properly? Amalei, said Rav Yeshua ben Levi, tells him, Mizuta ma'idichti v'aydaitam uvanecha, is it a small thing, this that we just said, that it says v'aydaitam uvanecha, you should teach the Torah to your children, nesamacha yoyim ha'asher amadta, lefnei ha'asher alakecha b'chodov, so therefore I'm in a hoi to do the mitzvah, without even taking the time to put on my turban proper. So the Gemara says, because Rav Chiya bar Abba learned from this, mikan v'eilech, Rav Chiya bar Abba l'toim umtza. From then on, Rav Chiya bar Abba would not eat his morning umtza. Rashi said umtza means meat roasted a little bit on the coals. Rashi explains they would regularly eat that for breakfast. So from then on, Rav Chiya bar Abba would not eat his morning umtza ad makri liyanuka umoisvei until he had learnt with the until he'd learned over with his son what he had already learned, and then teach him something new. Because Maharal Shah explains, in other words, that that just repeating over what they already learned is not really the full thing of learning Torah. You want Vahidaitam to inform him of something that implies you're informing them something new, therefore you had to teach him a new piece as well. So only after he did that would he sit down to have breakfast. Similarly, Rabbi Barav Huna, like Toim Unsa, Admaisi Linukal Ben Medrash, similarly, Rabbi Barav Huna would not eat his morning Unsa until he brought his child to Cheder, again stressing this point that that's the most important thing ahead even of starting his day in other ways. Okay. The Gemara continues. Omer of Safra Mishum Rebeshur Ben Chananya, Mai Dichtiv Vishinantam Vanecha. The Pasuk says you should Vishinantam. The simple meaning of Vishinantam is you should teach them diligently. And we're going to learn later in the Gemara it means that Meloshim Shonan, which means sharp, so Divrei Torah should be sharp in your mouth. So what does that mean? The point is though, why Vishinantam? Why not, for example, it could have said Vishinisam Levanecha? Why Vishinantam with the two nuns? So that means
they both
have the same shirt, right? So Vishinisam would make it clear, you teach it. What is Vishinantam? Al tiku Vishinantam ela Vishilashtam. So don't read Vishinantam, but rather Vishilashtam, which Marsha explains. In other words, for one thing, the nun and the lamed can interchange. We often find that in words where, for example, you have the word lishka, which means a chamber in the Beis Mikdash, and you have a place in Nehemiah where it uses the word nishka instead with a nun. And you have other examples like that. So therefore, the nun of Vishinantam can become a lamed. And then there's a lot of other points as well. Marshall explains, the point is we're going to say it's a three. So the idea is, in other words, you're learning Torah once, Marshall explains, and then Vishinantam, Meloshin Sheni, so you're repeating it over twice. So altogether you have three times. And then the Pnei Yeshua explains that Vishinantam, also we're going to say soon in the Gemara, it means you have to be sharp and knowledgeable in Torah. You can't just have Torah Shabbat, you need Torah Shabbat Peh. So therefore, so you need Vishilashtam, you need all three. You need Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. Anyway, so therefore, so it means that Vishilashtam, you should be dividing your learning into three parts. Meaning, la'olam yishalash adam shnoisav, a person should always divide his years into three. Shlish b'mikra, one third learning mikra, which is Tanakh, shlish b'mishnah, one third of mishnah, which is basic halachas, or shlish b'talmud, and one third Talmud, which is analyzing the mishnah and figuring out the sources of its, of the halachas in the mishnah and when they apply, and so on and so forth.
Second one means generals.
So Mishnah means like we have the Mishnah in front of us, which is just the basic halachas without giving any reasons or details behind them. And then to put it in modern terms, for example, the post can talk about to put it in terms of the Sfarim we have later on. Let's say, for example, Mishnah would be basic Shulchan Aruch. Talmud would be, for example, the Nosekelim on Shulchan Aruch, which analyzed where did he get this from, does what specific situations where the din that he said applies and doesn't apply, reconciling it with other halachas, things like that. All that kind of analysis is included in Talmud. The Alter Rebbe also in Hilchos Talmud Torah discusses in some detail what areas of Torah belong to what part between these three, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. For example, he says Pnimius HaTorah belongs to the Talmud part. So you have different categories like that. Anyway, so the Gemara is assuming that it means Yishalosh Adam Shnoisev means a person should spend one third of his expected lifespan learning Mikra and the next third Mishnah and so forth. So the Gemara asks, Mi Yodakam Chaye, how is he supposed to know how long he's going to live that he should be able to divide up like that? And the answer is the Gemara says, you're right, Loit Sricha LeYoyim. No, what it means is as far as the date. So Rashi explains that means that 2 days a week you should be learning Mikra, and the next 2 days Mishnah, and the next two Talmud. Tosfos argues with that and says, no, I mean, that's still Kami Yod Kamachai. What if it passes away in the middle of the week? So rather, Tosfos says means within each day itself, a person should have a part of the day for one and a part for the other, and so forth. In fact, Tosfos says this is why we have in the Siddur, it goes back to the Amram Goin, that before Pesukim de Zimra, we have Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. We have the Pesukim in Korbanus. We have the Pesukim of Korbanus. We have the Mishnayos of Ezeo Mekoyman. And we have the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, which is considered part of Talmud. So that way, every day, we're Yotze that. Tosfos also points out, the fact is, when we learn Gemara Bavli, it's also blended with all three. It has Mikra and Mishnah and Talmud in it, and with that, we're also Yotze. The Rambam, by the way, explains that all of this is primarily when a person is first starting out learning, then he needs to focus on all these various areas. Eventually, the Rambam says, a person graduates to Talmud, he's gotten to the point where he's able to analyze things and be able to come up with conclusions on his own, then at that point, the Rambam says he doesn't really need to focus so much on Mikra and Mishnah, he needs to review them once in a while so he doesn't forget them, but mainly he should be focusing on Talmud, on the deeper aspects of learning. So the Gemara says, Lefichach, Rashi says that this Lefichach is not really, it's really actually a new statement, not really tied directly with what we said before, but in a general way, we're saying that you have to be diligent in learning Torah more and more, and we see that the early Chachamim were very diligent in that, even to the extent, Lefichach Nikra, Rishonim Sofim, for the following reason, the early Chachamim were called Sofim, Jehoiah Sofim Kol Osius Shema Torah. They counted all the letters in the Torah. So they were able to say, for example, Vav de Gochen Chetzian Shal Osius Shal Sefer Torah. The letter Vav of the word Gochen, Kol Helecha Gochen, towards the end of Parashas Shemini, that Vav, which is actually written larger in the Sefer Torah than normal Vav, is the middle of the letters of the Torah. The word Doresh Dorash in Parashas Shemini, Veisirachatas Doresh Dorash Moshe, Emtsan is Chetzian Shal Osius Shal Sefer Torah. That is the middle. Dorish Dorash Chetzim Shal Tevas. That is the middle of the words of the Sefer Torah. The Osius was saying is the Vav of Gochen. The words Dorish Dorash are the middle words of the Torah. And in fact, you have the minhag of Sofim. I think it's brought in the Sefer Sofim is that you write it the word Dorash at the end of one line, and the second the Dorosh at the end of the first line, and the word Dorash at the beginning of the second line to underscore like now you're starting a new half of the Torah, so to speak. Then the hisgalach shal psukim, the word for hisgalach, which the pasuk beginning the hisgalach in parashas Tazria, is the middle pasuk of the Torah. So they all counted these things up. There is, by the way, an enormous amount of discussion about a lot of ink has been spilled over the fact that if you count up the letters in our Sefer Torah, you don't seem to find that. You seem to find the midpoints as far as psukim and as far as letters and as far as words are all elsewhere. So what does the Gemara mean? And there's a lot of different discussion. Maybe, for example, as far as the Vav of Gochen, it means the middle one of the unusual letters in the Sefer Torah, the ones that are larger or smaller or whatever. Maybe the Vav of Gochen is the middle of those. Maybe it means no. I mean, you have to a certain extent. The Gemara is going to say we're not precise in the Masorah. The Masorah of our Sefer Torah is maybe not so precise, but not to the extent of thousands of letters differences as you find if you count nowadays the letters. You'll find that the middle letter, for example, is a couple thousand letters away from the one the Gemara is mentioning over here. So you're not going to have that much of a difference. So there's a lot of discussion about it. When you say yes, Shishim Ribu Osius LaTorah, where did the Shishim Ribu come from? You have about 300,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. And you have, for example, the Alter Rebbe explains that you have the letter, the Nekudas, for example, every Patach has in principle an Aleph, every Kolmetz or Patach in principle has an Aleph after it, every Cholim in principle has a Vav after it, so if you count it up that way, then you have, say, 6,000. So according to that, you could still come out with Gochen actually being the middle. And you have a lot of other different explanations. The deeper idea behind it, Marashah explains, and it's talked about in the Zohar and in various other places, is there this pasuk called Helech HaGochen is referring that you're not allowed to eat snakes and other things that crawl on their stomach. So it represents, in other words, don't have anything to do with the Nachash HaKadmoni. So therefore, that's the midpoint of the Torah, like that's the point that the whole Torah turns on, stay away from the Gochen, from the Nachash HaKadmoni. And there's explanations why that for the Vav. The Zohar explains that Vav is Ois Emes. And you have Marashah over here explains the symbolism of all the other ones as well. Dorish, Dorash. You have to be Dorish. You have to delve into the Torah, why things are Tomei and why things are Tahor, for example. So therefore, you have two different kinds of Dorash and so forth.
Vav Emes, because Vav is connecting.
So Vav is Emes. The Zohar explains why Vav is the letter of Emes. One thing is it's connected with Yaakov, Mavriach, Nakotze, Alakotze. Yeah, it goes like from one end to the other. Yeah, it's a, there's a
little. You have a Kavim Soy.
Kavim Soy, yeah, yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. The Sofrim also found Yechav Semena Chazir Miyar in Tilim. You have the Pasuk in Capital Pei, the Chazir representing Esav from the forest eats it up. The ayin, the yar, chetzin shel tilim, that letter ayin, and that word yar is the midpoint of tilim. And in fact, you look in tilim, you'll find that's one of the rare letters in Tanakh that's taller. It's written normal size in the tilim, in the oil, yes, it's tilim, it's printed smaller, but really, really up here in the Masorah, it's normal size, but it's moved above the line. Instead of being written in a line with all the other letters, it's written higher up.
Hanging,
like, yeah. So you have a few letters like that in Tanakh. So this is one of them. Vuhurachim, the chapter of, and chetzi de psukim. And the pasuk Vuhurachim is the middle pasuk of Tilim. So the Sofrim were very experts in Torah, and they learned Torah so diligently that they were able to figure all these things out. So the Gemara asks, Boy Rav Yosef, Vav de Gochen, mehai gisa, oi mehai gisa. You're saying the letter Vav of Gochen is the middle letter. Do we mean it's the end of the first half of the letters of the Torah, or do we mean it's the beginning of the second half? Rav Yosef evidently is assuming that there are an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah. So if there's an even number, then it means there's not one middle letter, there are two middle letters. So what do we mean when we say the Vav of Gochen is the middle one? So he said to him, on the side it says, Amalei Abaya, that Abaya says, what's the problem? Why are you asking? Nesi Sefer Torah v'nimninu. Let's bring a Sefer Torah and start counting. Mi loy Omer Rabba Baba Chana. Don't we have what Rabba Baba Chana said in a different context? And Rashi says, I don't actually know what this context is. But anyway, loy zozim yishraman shevi sefer Torah omanom. They didn't move from there before they brought a sefer Torah and counted them. Now, the Gemara mentions this in Shabbos in connection with, the Gemara discusses over there, there are 39 places in the Torah where it says the word malacha, and from that's one remez for the 39 malachas. So the Gemara mentions over there the same thing that you should know. Rabbi Baba Chana said, loy zozim yishraman shevi sefer Torah omanom. But there also it says that, as if like he said it someplace else. So Rashi says, I'm not sure where the original context was, that now the Gemara is quoting from that, both in Shabbos and here. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi says, you see that they were able to bring a Sefer Torah and count it, so why don't we do the same thing? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, can't. Inu b'ki b'chaseiras v'yaseiras. The Udi or Chachamim were experts in which words are written chaser and malei. Anan loy b'keinan. We're not such experts in it. Our Sefer Torah may well have a word that's malei, that has a vav in it, where originally it shouldn't have, or vice versa. And therefore, and we actually have, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Shabbos, we have over a dozen, we have like two dozen places all over Shas where the Gemara tells us that a word is spelt a certain way in Tanakh, and our Masorah has it differently. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, we can't necessarily show which side, we can't necessarily just count the letters in the Sefer Torah and know from that about the word Gochen. Lemaisa, this has implications in halacha. When you take out a Sefer Torah to lay, if you find a mistake in it, then generally you have to put the Sefer Torah back and then take out another one. But if the mistake was in chaseiras v'yaseiras, in a way where it doesn't affect the meaning and it doesn't affect the pronunciation, say, for example, you have the word aveseinu, sometimes it's spelled with a vav after the vase, and sometimes not, then you don't take out another Sefer Torah, because based on this Gemara over here, the other Sefer Torah may have the vav where the one you're leaning from doesn't, or vice versa, but how do you really know which one is more accurate? Boy Rabbi Yosef had another question, similarly, v'his galach, my high gisa. We're saying v'his galach is the middle posik of the Torah, so is that one from one side or the other? Again, assuming the Torah has an even number of psukim, then it would mean it's either the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half. Which is it? So Abaya says, so what's the problem? At least the psukim we can count. No, we know where each pasuk begins and ends. And he says, no, but psukim nami lo b'kein. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, even with psukim, we're not necessarily so expert. Again, there are different mesoras on it. For example, when Rabbi Acha Ba'ada came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported the Ma'arava in the west, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they divide the following pasuk that we have in Bavel as one long pasuk. They hold that it's three psukim. And the pasuk continues. So in Bavel, and this is the universal Masorah nowadays, that's one pasuk. But in Eretz Yisrael, they held that that's actually three separate psukim. Is one separate pasuk ba'avu yishma amadabri imach v'gam b'chol yamin la'olam, and the third one by Yagid Moshe as divra amal Hashem. Now Rashi explains, because the three parts of the pasuk don't seem to be directly connected, when Hashem says hina aneshi bori lacha ba'avu onan, how is that going to make that they're going to listen to you and believe in you forever? So therefore they assumed in Eretz Yisrael that those are meant to be separate pasukim. So what the point is, you have different Masoretis, you have also Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. So with all that kind of thing, Rabbi Yosef says, even to count what's the middle posuk, you really can't do. Lemaise and Chumashim, nowadays you'll find that they have a marking by a posuk at the end of, and near the end of Parashas Tzav, by Yeped Loy Boy, that is marked over there, Chatzia Torah of Psukim. That's according to the division of Psukim that we have. Okay. Turn it up on him, we learn in a Braisa. Shmoina Meis, Shamesha Salafim, Shmoina Meis, Shmoina Psukim, Havu Psukim Sefer Torah. There are 5,888 Psukim in the Torah. We actually, the count that we have nowadays is a little bit less. It's 5,846. And again, there's various explanations why it is. Again, based on what we just said, that maybe in different places they had different divisions of psukim. Yeser olav tilim shmoina. Tilim has eight more, which would mean, on the face of it, it means tilim has almost 6,000 psukim, 5,896 psukim. Tosfos wonders, I mean, Tilim is mostly short. Tilim has about 2,500 psukim. Even if you divide it up, Tosfos says, even if you divide it up into pieces of three words each, you're still not going to get anywhere near the figure that we're saying over here in the Gemara. So it's a question what the Gemara means, yes, all of Tilim Shmona. Again, there's different explanations. Chosin, when Divrei Yomim Shmona, Divrei Yomim has eight psukim less. Again, the question is, on the face of it, it doesn't work out. Divrei Yomim has around 1,700 psukim. That's a lot less than Torah has 5,800 and some. So Hagoras Hagro adds over here Daniel and Divrei Yomim, but fine, even Daniel only has a couple hundred psukim. So it's still sort of even what the Gemara means by this, and there's many different answers that have been proposed what the Gemara means by this more, eight more and eight less. One interesting possibility is, the Gemara means, for example, at least as far as Divrei Yomim, you have psukim of Torah that are quoted in Divrei Yomim, so you have eight fewer in Divrei Yomim than you have in other places in Tanakh, something like that. Okay. Turn it up on, we learn in a Braisa, when it says v'shinantam, the words of Torah, you should teach the words of Torah, the word v'shinantam is also maloshim shonu, sharp. Shiyu divrei Torah b'chododim b'ficha. Words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth. If somebody asks you something in Torah, don't be stuttering and trying to find the words before you say it to him. Tell it to him right away. Tosfos explains. Now, it's one thing if they ask him, did you learn this Masechta? Say, I didn't learn it as a matter of anivus. But if they're actually asking him a question in it, then be sharp and answer right away. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Emor l'chokma achosi ofagrem, say to chokma of Torah, you are my sister. So therefore, it should be as clear to you, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, as clear to you as that your sister is also to you, is how clear words of Torah should be to you. Marasha elsewhere explains in Sanhedrin, this Gemara is also brought, why dafka are we comparing to a sister? And he says, because apitam v'das, you would think you should be able to marry your sister. Kayin married his sister, your sister is very close to you, therefore you'll have a beautiful relationship, and yet the Torah flat out says it's also. So therefore, don't learn Torah according to your tam v'das, realize you have to have Kabbalah's oil to what the Eishter says. That's the attitude to learn Torah with. V'oimer, and you also have a pasuk. All these are psukim from Mishlei, which are many of them are psukim from Mishlei, which is all about the importance of learning Torah. Koshrei malatz vaysecha, tie them on your fingers. Kosvim aluach libecha, write the words of the Torah on the tablet of your heart. So they should be, that's how familiar you should be with Torah. But Omer, and you have another pasuk in Tilim, kichitzim biyad giber, like arrows in the hands of a mighty soldier, ken bnei anurim, so are the young talmidim who learned Torah when they were young, and now they're sharp like arrows. But Omer, and you have another pasuk, chitzei giber shnunim, another pasuk also mentions the sharp arrows of the warrior. But Omer, and you have another pasuk that also expresses the importance of arrows being sharp. Chitzecha shnunim, your arrows are sharp. Amim tachtecha yipru, and nations therefore will fall under you and then in subservience to you. So we see that when a person has the sharp arrows of Torah, then that's what he needs. But Omer, and pasuk also says about such talmidim, Ashrei hagever ashamilei as hashvosim ehem. Happy is the man who fills up his ashba with them. Ashba in most places in Tanakh means a quiver that you keep arrows in. So happy is the person who fills up his quiver with the arrows of the young Talmid Chachamim. Lo yevoshu, they won't be embarrassed. Ki yedabru es oivim bashar, when they speak against their enemies in the gate. Meaning, when they're arguing with one another on Divrei Torah in the gate where that was usually where the local Beis Din would sit. They won't be embarrassed because they're going to know it. They're going to know it. Or they're going to know it cold. They're going to know it off the top of their head. Maharsha does explain over here, by the way, as a drasha, that the word ashpase can also mean, the word ashpa also means garbage. He says you have people, for example, of Tamar who have bacharim learning in their houses, and they have the bacharim staying by them, they have them learning by them, whatever, and they complain. They make a lot of garbage and a lot of mess around the house. Don't worry about that. Ashriya give ashamilas ashpase man. You should be happy that your garbage can is being filled with the garbage left by the Tamar Hachamim because they're becoming great in Torah, and you, the Balabas, who are supporting them, are also sharing in that source. A Tamar Chacham has to be neat and clean, yeah, but furt, you know, a person is staying in a place, right. And then he's getting a buffer who's going to produce a certain amount of garbage. Yeah. So the Gemara says, my es oivin bashar, what does that last words mean, against the enemies in the gate? Even when you have a father and his son are learning Torah together, harav v'talmido, you're a rebbe and a talmid, sha'oskim v'torah v'shar echad, and they're learning Torah in one gate, meaning in one base medrash, they're asking questions and challenging each other, nasim oivim zeh zeh. They become, on the surface, it looks like they're enemies to one another. They're fighting and they're arguing but the enem zazim misham, but they don't move from there. By the time they finish their learning, achinasim oyhavim zazim. They become friends to one another because to begin with, their whole argument was Hashem Shemayim. Shenema es vohev besufa, as the pasuk says, vohev in sufa, and in the alken yomam sefer mochamot Hashem. It's written in the book of the wars of Hashem. Es vohev besufa, and we darshin vohev meloshin ahava. Al tikli besufa ela besufa. Not besufa, maloshin yam sufa, besufa at the end of it. At the end, there's going to be es vohev, there's going to be ava between the Tamar Chacham. The Gemara continues, turn it up on him. Besamtem, when the passage says besamtem is dvora eva, that means we douse in the word besamtem, samtom. It means the Torah is like a perfect medicine. So it means nimshal Torah, to sam chayim. The Torah is compared to a medicine, to an elixir of life. So it's a mashal, like a father hit his son with tremendous blows, and then he puts a plaster on the wound to heal it. But Amalei tells him, "Bni, calls mancho to tiazu amakosva. As long as this plaster is on your wound, echo mashana oscha, you can eat whatever you enjoy, or shrei mashana oscha, and drink whatever you enjoy, or uchoitz ben mechamin ben mitzonin, you can bathe in hot or cold water. But inatam siade, you have nothing to worry about that's going to get infected." But if you take off the plaster, harehi malanumi, then the wound is going to get infected. So afa kadosh baruch hu amlam Yisrael, the same way Hashem Shem says to the Jewish people, bonai barosi yetzahara, I created the yetzahara, so that's like a terrible wound that is constantly in danger of getting infected. Or barosi the Torah tavlin, but I created the Torah as an antidote to it. If you occupy the Torah, you won't be handed over to the yetzahara, as the Torah will protect you from it. Shenemar, Haloyim Tativ says, as Hashem says to Cain, isn't it true if you do good, Seis, then your Averis will be lifted away. And Seis also means you will be higher, Snaser, Hashem says, you will be higher than, you will overcome your Yetzirah. The imloy seitiv, but if you don't do good, learning Torah, but if you don't occupy yourself with Torah, you will be handed over to the Yetzirah. Shenem lapesach chatas roivis, as Hashem continues to the kain, the sin, meaning the Yetzirah is crouching at the door and ready to get. The loyoy, not only that, shekomasoy matonibah. The Yetzirah's constant efforts are against you to try to get you to do averus. Shenem, as the pasuk continues, ve'elecha trukase, to you is his desire. If you want, you can overcome him. So in other words, there's two things. There's if you learn Torah, the Meforshim on Ein Yaakov explain, if you learn Torah, then you're learning Shaloi L'Shma, so you're not going to be handed over to the Yetzirah, but you're not going to be able to control the Yetzirah either. Here we're talking about when a person is Oisik L'Shma, then Hashem helps him even dominate and overcome the Yetzirah. Turn it up on him, so we learn in a braisa more about the Yetzirah. Kosher Yetzirah, Shafiru Yotzre Kroi Rab. Yetzirah is a terrible thing. Even the one who created it, Hashem himself, calls it evil. Shenema ki Yetzirah Adam, Ramin Ura, of the inclination of a person's heart, is Ra, is evil from his youth. So even Hashem himself is telling us how bad it is. And the Gemara says, Omer Yitzchak Shalom Mischadish Olam B'chol Yom. A person Yitzchak every day renews itself against him. It's constantly coming up with new ideas. Shenema Rak Rak Kol Hayom, only evil all day. So Kol Hayom, every single day you have a new one. And the Omer of Shimon Levi Yitzchak Shalom Mischadish Olam B'chol Yom. Umvakash Hamisay, and it wants to get him to do an avera and then to kill him for it. Shenema Sofer Rosh La Tzadik Umvakash Hamisay. The Rosh is looking out for the Tzadik and waiting and trying to kill him. If Hashem didn't help the tzad, if Hashem didn't help a person, he would be unable to overcome the Yetzirah. Shenema Elikim Layaz Benaviyadeh, as the next pasuk until him continues, Hashem won't abandon him in his hand. We have in Tanya, and in Perikyub Gimel, the Alter Rebbe explains, in other words, that you have a Benini, he's constantly being assaulted by thoughts from his Yetzirah, but as soon as he has those thoughts, he immediately pushes them away with his Nefesh HaLekis. What helps is Nefesh HaLekis. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozrei, that Hashem gives the Nefesh HaLekis, the power of the Nefesh HaBahamas, Moyach Shalat Alalev, and therefore he's able to put it in its place. So the Gemara continues, Tonad Veda Mishmal, Bni, if this disgusting one, the Yetzirah, meets up with you and wants to be machshel you, moshcheu the Beis Medrash, shlep into the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. Im evenhu, if the Yetzirah is like a stone, nimoyach, then the Torah will make him dissolve. As you have, for example, like the Torah is compared to water, and as the Gemara is going to point out, water wears away rocks, like with the story of Rabbi Akiva. And if the Yetzirah is even stronger, like iron, misspoits it, it will explode because of the Torah. Sparks will shoot off it and the whole thing will explode. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Aloi choy dvori ko'eshnu Hashem, aren't my words like fire, says Hashem, or chafatish, you fights it sola, like the hammer that shatters the rock. So we see, in other words, now Tosfos has some discussion over here. It sounds like then we're saying that the hammer shatters the rock, meaning we're comparing the Torah to the hammer and the Yetzirah to the rock. Didn't we just say we're comparing the Yetzirah to iron? So among other things, Tosfos says that sometimes you have certain kinds of rocks that are so hard that they will shatter an iron hammer that bangs on them, or the snapperin, or the sapphire that the luchas were made out of, for example, and it brings an example from a medrash. So therefore, it can mean that yes, you bang on the stone with a hammer, and it's the hammer that breaks. So we're representing therefore the Yetzirah of shatters. Im even huni moyach, and where do you see that if it's like a stone, it'll melt away? Shenema hoy kol tzomi l'chulamayim. The pasuk says everyone who's thirsty go to the water, which is the water of Torah. Va'oymer, and you have another pasuk, avonim shachaku mayim, stones that are worn away by water. So yes, the water of Torah is able to wear away and destroy the Yetzirah of the Yetzirah, which is like a stone. Okay. Fine. We'll continue tomorrow. That's the time.